Second and 10, handoff. Judkins, no running room. Derek Harmon closed up the hole.
Yeah, Derek Harmon shows some quickness along with power.
And it's Oregon football. Wow. This ball came out. Harmon comes away with it, ripped it away from Judkins. Take a look right here.
Yeah, he didn't even go for the tackle. He was in the backfield and just went for the football.
Audio courtesy of NBC, Derek Harmon, Oregon defensive tackle, a guy I saw play a lot this year. He is a bit of a monster. Is that somebody, Jason, that the Ravens may have their eye on? He's going to go in the first round, it seems like.
We don't throw 9,000 names at the wall because, and we could, because when you're picking between 25th and 30th every year, well, 25th, 28th, whatever.
It was 30.
The championship 20, game 1 year. So whatever. There's a lot that can happen, and you're at the mercy of a lot of teams obviously ahead of you. But there are certain calculated ones that I think are worth focusing on, and now that we're about a month away, this is a name I've heard tied to them quite a bit. This kid was at Michigan State. He got a little overweight. He got a talking to from some people in his life and from some football people, and he got himself in shape, and he had a chance to play at Colorado for $2 million in NIL or go to GG school for $1.2 million. And he went to GG school for $1.2 million because he thought he'd fit the scheme better, and he thought it would help his draft prospects. And boy, did it. And he's scheme versatile. He's not one of these guys who's just a run stuffer. You talk to people in the scouting community about him, they say he looks like a Raven or he looks like a Steeler. And there's we've talked a lot already about this group of D tackles and how deep it is and how 28 of them might get drafted and how 20 of them might have real serious NFL careers and how a bunch of them are going to go on the second day of the draft. And that's where the Ravens have a ton of picks. And there's a lot of them that they'd be real comfortable taking there. And there's a couple who they're going to have no shot at, like the two Michigan kids, Grant and Graham. But I'm not sure they pass on Derek Harmon. He's just got the body that they covet. He's got the width. He's got the length. He's got the power. I know they're high on him, and they should be high on him. And a lot of people in Mock Draft Nation, a lot of the wannabe GMs out there who start doing mock drafts, you know, as soon as the draft actually ends for the following year, you don't see him as much. Like, even Daniel Jeremiah, I don't think had him in his top 50 players. But, like, this kid is, I'd be real surprised if he doesn't go in the first round. And before he got hurt last year, if you talk to people who have access to, like, the advanced analytics and the metrics, his inside win rate was number one in the country before he got hurt last year. So, again, he's not just a run stuffer. And maybe he's gone, you know, maybe Seattle takes him. There's a bunch of teams that could take him. But if he's still there, I have a hard time thinking there's somebody who's going to be on their board who they're going to look at and say is potentially more impactful. And if there's a run on them and they don't go that direction, I think this Malachi Starks kid, safety out of Georgia, who's more than just a safety and is kind of a shapeshifter, and you'd say, well, don't you already have one of those guys? I think they want all those guys. I don't think they're worried about position designations and delineations. They can find a way to win with him and a more traditional safety like Ardarius and a Kyle Hamilton all on the field at once. I don't think they would flinch at all, and this is not a great corner safety draft. And so if you want to get one of those premium pieces at the top, at the end of the day, the first day, knowing that there's still going to be a lot of D tackles there, maybe not a Harmon, but a lot of D tackles we like, it could go that way. But I think it probably breaks one of those two ways. And just any time I've talked to somebody about Harmon, like, they just, they're like, yeah, that's the real deal. Like, teams love that kid, and he just looks like a Raven.
We know that since their inception, the best player available, and we sometimes laugh at that because there's years where Patrick Queen really sticks out. They need a linebacker. They say best player available. But with how this roster is set up, and Ronnie Stanley was that big domino in retaining him, because if he did walk, boom, tackle is a glaring, glaring hole where... Do the Ravens have needs? Absolutely. Every single team has needs, but maybe not the glaring needs. So I don't want to say would anything surprise you, but they could go in so many directions with this.
I talked to someone the other day because obviously I love Oregon's football, Oregon football. And so Derek Harmon is a guy that I was definitely like, that guy looks like a Raven. The impression of the person I talked to is like, yeah, they like him, but I think they like a lot of defensive linemen in this draft. The impression I got from this person is if those safeties aren't there or corners, they would then go defensive lineman, but they think that they're going to go corner or safety in the first round because there's so many D linemen in this draft.
And not to mention that, you said this yesterday, where they spend big money, secondary. Where they invest high draft capital, secondary.
Yeah, I would say that I agree with what you're saying. I think there's certain players who are an exception and who would stick out. And
this
they'd
guy's
say,
a stud.
Yeah, we just think there's too much there. And we could do a whole lot with him now, and we can dream on him 2 years from now as he continues to work on his body. And I think he would fall into the category of, yeah, he's better than what he's better, and he's more than better. He's potentially significantly better than what we're going to get in, you know, around the 120s.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this now. And I don't think there's a whole lot of those guys, but I'm becoming increasingly convinced that he's one.
Not for nothing. The last time I think they took a defensive tackle in the first round, it worked out pretty damn well. That was Haloti Ngata.
Yeah. Well, and they're going to, too. Like,
it's crazy. It's been that long. Yeah.
To Bone's point about how it sets up, it's a great draft to want and need defense because it's loaded. The best players are defensive, but because it's not a great offensive draft, the ones who are there are going to get pushed up. Like, it's not a great offensive line draft, but five or six are still going in the first round because, if you're not in love with the fourth, you really don't like the 16th in this draft. And, like, wide receivers, the same thing's going to happen. Like, more of them will go in the top 50 than they probably should because there's not that many of them. So, you know, if you don't have to dabble in those markets up high, inherently players are falling to you on the defensive side of the board. Better players you already have rated higher and who fill more immediate needs.
Yeah, and that's where it goes to how Eric DaCosta has navigated the offseason thus far, bringing back Ronnie Stanley, bringing in DeAndre Hopkins to add some depth at wide receiver. As things currently stand, the tight end room's fine. Like, offense is pretty
ready. They're so loaded on offense, we want them to trade Andrews.
Exactly.
If you're not going to pay him. But on the defensive side, we're still saying, what would happen if Van Noy got hurt?
Yep.
Who is the guy to play next to, like, Roquan? Is that guy here? You know, I don't know.
Speaking of Van Noy, is the people you're talking to, and I know this wasn't the assignment, but any edge guys that these people like? That, because we've seen some names of guys, the Boston College kid that could be there when they pick, like anybody that you think they like?
Yeah, I think they like Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M. And if you look at the sack numbers, they're not great, but the analytics are off the charts. And like, do I think they look at Shamar Stewart and say, okay, we learned from some of our mistakes with Owe and we could do better with this guy? I absolutely do. Now, I mean, we're talking about a dude with 4.5 sacks. Like, I think he had 2 last year. I can tell you Bobby D absolutely loves him.
Hmm.
And if Bobby D absolutely loves him, I can tell you that John Harbaugh heard all about Shamar Stewart from Bobby D. I think Shamar Stewart is absolutely a name. Like, Bobby D said, if you squint hard enough, you could see Myles Garrett.
Ooh,
and Bobby D was in Cleveland when they drafted Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
And then the one other name that I think is worth keeping an eye on is a D tackle, Walter Nolan, out of Mississippi. And he's a kid who I think, while he's listed as a D tackle, I think he could play outside in your nickel packages. In fact, I asked Bobby about that, and he said he thinks he could play outside linebacker in a 5-2 look, maybe this kid in Roquan.
Wow.
So, I don't know. Like, most people are just sort of writing him up as just a, you know, sort of a pure D tackle, but I know Bobby thinks there's a lot more versatility in there. You know, he can play on the edge. He could play inside on a nickel. He could be a chess piece in a 5-2 look. So I think that's another kid where if he's there and maybe a safety's there, what is the drop off? What do they do? But I think it's probably defense, and I think it's probably one of these guys I'm talking about.
Draft will be here before you know, and we'll be keeping track of what's going on for the Ravens as they get ready to pick 27th in the draft. We want to hear from the people next. By the way, Ben McDonald joining us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk O's with him. But Terps basketball season is over. Terp fans, how are you feeling about how this thing ended? How do you feel about Kevin Willard? 410-583-1057. We can talk some O's as well as they mashed on opening day. 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next here on The Fan.